You're listening to the Infused Leadership Podcast, because we have it all figured out. We are children of light. Welcome to the Infused Leadership Podcast, everybody. I'm Jared Bayless. I am the Creative Arts Pastor here at Element Church. So glad you joined us. This podcast is entitled, I Want to Be More Like the Devil. And hopefully you're listening to this because you hope there's some heresy that you're going to uncover. But you'd be wrong. And so actually, this podcast is a podcast piggybacking, whatever, off of the August podcast that I did on urgency. And so Pastor Jeff really wanted to share some more. And so he actually took one of our all-staff meetings, and he wanted to really challenge us to take a look at some things in our own lives in ministry and what might be keeping us from being urgent. And so we wanted to play that for you. So here is Pastor Jeff talking about how he wants to be more like the devil.
So how would you feel if I said, I want to be more like the devil? I know for you guys here on staff, you knew there would be a twist to it, but either there's a twist or something's gone horribly wrong with staff, and you're wondering what in the world this all staff meeting is about. Revelation 12 gives us this graphic picture of a war in heaven, that God's angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and we're told the dragon is the devil, and he was thrown down to earth, which matches actually what Jesus tells us in Luke 18, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Revelation 12, 12, so if you got your Bibles, Revelation 12, verse 12, then says this, and this is going to be kind of the foundation for our talk today. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. And if I could be so bold, and let me change the wording a tad, I know that's dangerous ground, but here's how I'm going to word it. The devil has come down to you in great anger with a great sense of urgency. That I want to be more like the devil in that way. That he knows his time is short. And because of that, he is not going to waste any time. So he has, according to Jesus, one mission and one mission alone, to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. And if we look around us today in the world, he's doing a pretty good job of doing just that, stealing, killing, and destroying our lives. So here's the big idea that I want us to talk about. If we truly understood how short our time is, we wouldn't waste our time on so many things. But if we truly understood how short our time is, we wouldn't waste our time on so many things. And I am not talking about personal time things. I'm not even talking about like watching TV or binge watching Netflix, playing video games, scrolling through social media. I'm not talking about that stuff, hobby type stuff. I'm talking about specific things related to our leadership, our roles in ministry, and our roles or our church in general. So if we truly understood how short our time is, we wouldn't waste our time on so many things. I'm going to ask this question. What do we not have time for in the church? If our time is short, as we believe it is, what do we not have time for in the church? And there's probably other things we could talk about, but these four things were ones that rose to the top for me. So when I got back from our sabbatical, listened to Jared's podcast about urgency, I pulled him into my office. I was like, hey, you sparked a whole like all-staff talk with your podcast. I ran these four things by him several weeks ago. And I think these are all good things for us to remember, me included. These are all good for us. And I want us all to understand, I am not saying any of these things today out of anger or accusation for any of us, that I just want us to know because our time is short, we don't have time for these things. We have to set them aside. So if the devil in his urgency can get us focused on unimportant things, then he can keep us from being urgent in the most important things. So he's all about distraction. If he can't destroy us, he'll distract us. He distracts us with these things that waste our time when we have such urgent things to be done in the ministry. So what do we not have time for? Here's the first one. It's this, preferences. In the church, we don't have time for preferences. So you don't have to turn there because it'll take you too long. I've got a couple of scriptures that we're going to look at here. But in Mark chapter 1, 35 through 38, you can write it down if you want to, but it says this, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I'll preach to them too. And then he says this, That is why I came. That he knew what his purpose was. So the people's preference was for Jesus to stay with them, to be with them, to remain with them. But Jesus told them, we got to go on to other towns. We can't stay here. This is why I came. This is my purpose. So here's the thing. Preferences, neither mine nor someone else's, can ever become our purpose. That when preferences become our purpose, we will cease to have the power of God in our ministry. Jesus said, our purpose is to preach to those towns too. In another place, he worded it this way, that we will leave the 99 found to go and look for the one who is lost. Now, sometimes it's offensive to the found people, but Jesus said, I'll do anything to reach the one who's lost. So Jesus, when he gave us the great commission to go and make disciples, he did not give us the way to do that. He gave us the what and the why. The what was reach more people for Jesus and raise them up to be like Jesus. That's what the Great Commission is all about. The why is all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Literally, he's saying, I'm God, so you go and do what my mission is, which is to reach more people and raise them up to be like me. He didn't tell us the style of music we should use, the style of preaching we should use, the size of church we should have, the kind of outreaches we should do. He just told us the what and the why, and he leaves the how up to us. And the how will look different in every single ministry that every single church that we might encounter. So there's going to be some things that we do as a church that may not be your preference, and quite frankly, may not even be mine. And we're definitely going to encounter people that come to our church and want us to do church according to their preference, right? So here's the thing. We don't have time for preferences. We just don't have time for it. Different kinds of churches will reach different kinds of people. And I'm not saying that this is the only way that we should do church. I'm just saying it's the only way we're going to do it right now. That the way we're doing church is the way we're going to do it because we don't have time to waste on people's preferences. I've worded it this way before, that there is no right way to do church, but every church should point the way back to God. That's the mission. We're pointing people back to God. God, bring us people nobody else wants, and we'll do our best to lead them to you. That's what our prayer has been. That's what our prayer will be, and we can't waste time on preferences. That if we truly understood how short our time is, we wouldn't waste our time on so many things. So what do we not have time for? The first one is preferences, and I'll preface it by saying this. We should listen to people. We should be kind to people when they question our preferences. We just don't have time to waste on it. Like, we can be kind and we can move on and say, this is who we are and you can join us, or there's plenty of other churches you can join that probably meet your preference better. Second, and it leads right into the second thing we can't waste time on is this, pining. I'll explain pining in a second for people who may not know what it means. Matthew 15, verse 2 says this, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. So pining is longing for the good old days. That's what pining is. Talking about how things used to be or how we did it where I came from. And there might be times where we can learn from how things used to be or how they worked for someone else where they came from, but we have no time just to long for the good old days. More often than not, by the way, the good old days weren't as good as we remember. They're just different than what we have right now. So we're upset with what we have, and so we long for what we used to have. So if you spend too much time pining for what used to be, you'll stop dreaming about the possibility of what can be. And that's where we have to be focused, is on what can be. Dreaming about the potential change in people's lives, the potential change in our state that we want to see. I think if we truly understood how short our time is, we wouldn't waste our time on so many things. So we don't have time for preferences. We don't have time for pining over the good old days. Number three is this, we don't have time for pettiness. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Recently, I read the book Tortured for Christ, written by Richard Wurmbrand, who's the founder of Voice of the Martyrs. He spent 14 years in a communist prison. The book is heartbreaking, it's gut-wrenching, and it's also inspiring. But he said this in the book that got me thinking about this idea of pettiness. I'll get to it here in a second. But he said this, we must give up routine work. the church must wage a frontal spiritual attack on the principalities in persecuted nations. Wars are won only by offensive, never by defensive strategy. And it made me think about our church, that we tend to be a church that's on the offensive as a church. We're always driving forward. Well, when you go on the offensive as a church, it will be offensive to some people, even some people in the church. That when we're on offense, people will take offense to that. So Jesus just didn't have time for pettiness. He, and this is key, he cared about people's feelings, but he was not going to coddle them. And that has to be true for us. We have to care about people's feelings, but we don't have time to coddle people who get offended at the advancement of the gospel. You read the gospel stories, Jesus knew his time was short. He had a mission to accomplish, and sometimes that offended people. One of the times he found the disciples arguing about who would have the seat of honor when they got into the kingdom. And Jesus said, are you able to drink the cup I'm going to drink from? She said, and then he said this, it'll be different among you. But if you want to be a servant, if you want to be a leader, you'll be a servant. If you'll be first, you'll be the slave of everyone else. He just reprimanded him right on the spot. One time, Peter came to Jesus and tried to stop the advancement of the mission. And Jesus called him a name. That name was Satan. He told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Like, I don't have time to waste around with this. Our mission's going on. Cared about people's feelings, did not coddle them. The Pharisees, he called a brood of snakes and whitewashed tombs. So here's how I've said it before. We are not here to coddle the already convinced or cater to the consistently comfortable. We are here to help convert those who are yet to believe and challenge the stinking heck out of those of us who already do. That's what we're called to do. And when we do that, there'll be people who take offense. We should care about their feelings, but we do not have time to coddle them. If we truly understood how short our time is, we wouldn't waste our time on so many things. So what do we not have time for? Preferences? We don't have time for pining over the good old days. We don't have time for pettiness, just always trying to coddle how everyone's feeling in the church. And the fourth one is this, we don't have time for piddling around. John 9, verse 4. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. So here's the thing. I'm all for having fun. I think we all understand that, right? I think work and ministry should be fun. I'm a big believer in working hard and also playing hard. But here's the thing. There's a fine line between having fun and just making our time at work futile. Really fine line. I think we're really good at walking that line. Okay, we like to have fun. And I love, as a staff, that we can play nine square and bust out the cornhole and gab at the coffee pot. And we have the most hilarious text strings. And we laugh till we cry at staff prayer meetings and all staff meetings. I love that. But let us not ever forget that we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. Because there is coming a day where we can work no longer. There's coming a day when we'll have preached all we can preach, served all we can serve, loved all we can love, led all we can lead, sung all we can sing, and time will be no more. That will either come for each of us by death, or will come for all of us with the return of Christ. Either way, our time is short. And there'll be a day when we don't have a chance to do the mission anymore. So with all of that, I want you guys to put everything you have with you away, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to keep them closed. And I want you right now to think about, with your eyes closed, the person in your life that you love the most, and it can't be Jesus, even though it should be, okay? So I want you to think about the person in life you love the most. It could be a spouse, a friend, a sibling, a parent. It could be your kids. If you have more than one kid and you're only thinking of one, don't tell the other ones about it. But whoever you're thinking of, think of the person you love the most, someone that you would do anything for. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to what anyone in this room may have faced before in life, but I want you to imagine that person is facing a life-threatening emergency right now. But with the proper treatment and care, they could be saved. I want you to imagine that you are in a room in the ER at the hospital. It's a life and death situation. The room is full of doctors and nurses and techs and specialists, and it is absolute chaos. And they're doing everything they can to save the person you love. But then you notice the doctor gets distracted by a nurse who starts complaining about how he's doing things. I wish you wouldn't use that method, doctor. I feel way more comfortable the way I was taught to do it. And a tech chimes in, yeah, my old hospital, we did it this way and it worked so much better. Then a doctor looks at the specialist and starts barking out orders, and the specialist says, you know, I don't like the way you're talking to me right now. It hurts my feelings. And then over in the corner of the room, the hospital staff's playing games, horsing around, completely distracted from your loved one. At some point, I want you to imagine this, at some point, if that were happening, you would come unglued. You would start yelling at the doctors and nurses and techs and staff and say, stop worrying about your preferences. Stop pining for the way it used to be. Stop being so petty about what the doctor said. Stop piddling around in the corner. You would literally rake them up one side and down the other. Why? Because it is a life and death situation, and your loved one is on a gurney in the ER, and if something doesn't happen quickly, they are going to die. So you can open your eyes. Every week, people's loved ones are coming to us on a spiritual gurney. And if something doesn't happen quickly, they might die. Spiritually die. For someone, it might be the last time they ever hear the gospel message before they pass on to the next life. For someone else, it could be the first time they've ever been to church, and there's a danger of it being their last if we do not connect them into the kingdom of God. In churches all around the world, what should be a triage center with a sense of urgency has become a group of people who are solely limited by their preferences, their pining, their pettiness, and their piddling around. And I think Jesus is standing up to us today saying, what are you doing? Stop worrying about your preferences and your pining and your pettiness and your piddling around. My child is on a gurney dying if you don't do something, and I've brought them to you to help. Will you help me? Will you help me? I want to be more like the devil. I just want to be more like the devil because he's come down in great anger knowing he has little time, that he has a sense of urgency, team, and I'm asking, do I have that same sense of urgency that I'm willing to put away some of those things that I might find important in my life to advance the mission that God's gave us? And listen, all of us default to at least one of those time suckers. All of us. You either default to preferences, you default to pining, you default to pettiness, or you default to piddling around. All of us do. I don't know which one it is for you, but we all have one we default to that distracts us from the mission. And again, there's sometimes time for portions of each of those things. But what I see so often in the church is that we get distracted from the mission, our urgency goes away, because those things have just wasted our time.
Thank you guys for joining us. Some great words from Pastor Jeff, and so grateful that he was inspired to share that with us as a staff. And hopefully those of you who are listening really got something out of that. If you guys have some podcast ideas or questions, please email us at infuse@elementchurchwy.com. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, please rate and review this wherever you're listening to. That really helps us. In the meantime, we hope your leadership has been infused with life.